So hello everybody and welcome. This is Lizzie and Justin from Third Space. And this is the Turning Towards Life conversation in its 302nd week. And you are all so welcome to be here with us, whether you're live, as some people are in our Facebook group, which you're all very welcome to join, or listening on a podcast or on YouTube. Maybe in July 2023 when we're recording this, but who knows how many years into the future you might be finding your way to us. You are all very, very welcome here. And Lizzie, it's wonderful to be with you again. And you'll know this, Lizzie, but how this works is each week we find a source to be the seed of our conversation. And we read the source and then we see what happens. And so far, 301 previous times, it's been good stuff. So it's really a joy to be able to do this and see what unfolds this week and to benefit, Lizzie, from you and from this wonderful source that you've brought us. Thank you.
Thanks, Justin. So this week we have this really beautiful poem and it's called Therapy by Naira Waheed. And I'm going to read it and then Justin, you'll read it and we'll just see what comes from our imaginations and worlds together. So if you're listening and you're able, maybe take a deep breath and find your feet on the floor. Or maybe if you're walking, just find a bit of contact that you didn't have before with the way that your body's moving. Maybe you're trying to go to sleep through listening to Turning Towards Life. That happens for people often. Let's just take some breaths together in service of receiving this piece of beauty by Naira for all of us. And I'm going to read. The hard season will split you through. Don't worry, you will bleed water. Do not worry, this is grief. Your face will fall out and down your skin, and there will be scorching. But do not worry. Keep speaking the years from their hiding places. Keep coughing up smoke from all the deaths you have died. Keep the rage tender, because the soft season will come. It will come loud, ready, gulping, both hands in your chest, up all night, up all of the nights, to drink all damage into love.
Therapy by Naira Waheed. The hard season will split you through. Do not worry. You will bleed water. Do not worry. This is grief. Your face will fall out and down your skin, and there will be scorching. But do not worry. Keep speaking the years from their hiding places. Keep coughing up smoke from all the deaths you have died. Keep the rage tender, because the soft season will come. It will come loud, ready, gulping, both hands in your chest. Up all night, up all of the nights, to drink all damage into love.
Thanks, Justin. So when I read this set of words, I could feel the need in me for this continual and constant reminder, reaffirmation of the faith that it takes to be with the splitting through that the hard season brings. I could feel how much I need to hear again and again and again through countless different kinds of poetry and people and books and all of those things, that when it's hard to be human, we can have faith in what's on the other side. Because being ones who face things, you know, this, the name of this whole thing, Justin, is turning towards life, which in some way for me tells me that we're committed to turning towards things rather than turning away from them, which means when we feel sad, we acknowledge our sadness. When we feel rageful, we acknowledge our rage, and we get into conversation, we feel it, we embrace it and let it be here and have faith. And I think it's true to say it's never easy. It's not the easy path. It's not the simple path. It's not the fun path many times. And it's deeply meaningful and fulfilling and important and wonderful and the only way that I know how to live. But it also feels scary and frightening, and like maybe there isn't this way that damage gets drunken into love. And sometimes it feels like we're stuck and that the same thing keeps coming and we don't know where to go or what to do with it. And so to keep being reminded of this, do not worry. You can keep speaking the years from their hiding places. You can keep coughing up the smoke because the soft season will come. Feels like such a deeply important context to sit within when we're doing this thing that we're calling turning towards life.
Whilst you've been speaking, Lizzie, all kinds of words and associations and feelings have been bubbling up in me. And the one that was just arriving as you were talking was seasons.
Mm.
And I got to wondering whether maybe some of our difficulties with difficulty, like the ones that Naira Wahid is writing about here, is when we forget that everything turns, everything. And that we're not so different from, in many ways, we're not so different to the world that we find around us. Like, we can think we're such a different kind of something, which is not even the right word, different kinds of beings to the world. But the world, I mean, the world that grows and lives and breathes and expresses, the living world that's all around us, is so clearly seasonal.
Mm.
But the more separate from it and more distant from it we make ourselves through the stories we tell about ourselves, and the sort of the technological story, and the lights on 24 hours a day story, and the houses that or buildings that to a certain extent protect us from seasons and all of those kind of things, they can have us forget the very deep truth that in one way is expressed in what you were saying and in this poem Therapy, which is do not worry, stay on in as you can, in whatever way you can, the world will turn and something afresh will be born. That's the kind of faithfulness to have. And I suppose I'm saying this, you know, where does anything we say in this conversation come from? I'm saying this because I realize how often I forget this, how often I that one of the ways that I turn away from grief, particularly, is to try and be the one who isn't seasonal. Like I won't let myself be blown. There are certainly parts of me, it's probably the right way to say it, there are certain parts of me that are deeply, deeply resistant to letting anything split me through, to letting my face fall, you know, run off. yeah, in an attempt to keep the lights on. Like the analogy of keeping the lights on, when what is called for the relief, and I've known this many times when I've remembered, the great relief in letting, not just turning towards grief or sorrow or a hard season, but actually turning my understanding of myself inside out enough that I can let it work through me, rather than I have to be the one who figures out what to do here. Just like the trees don't have to figure out what to do every time spring comes along and the leaves start.
Yeah.
But it's very, very ordinary. And I suppose it was one of the reasons I found hearing you and reading this poem just now very, very tender, because it's a reminder that in me and in all of us, there are those parts of me that really are very, very committed to holding on and making sure nothing ever blows through. And then there is something deeper in me, which is really deeply faithful to life. And so part of turning towards grief is not just turning towards it, but it's actually also seeing if I can already do enough softening inside that in me, which is much more timeless and much more faithful and much more like the flow of seasons or the movement of a river, and much less like a machine with a series of cogs or something, has a bit of a chance to breathe. And then the difficult thing to do, at least for me, but the very necessary thing, is then to let go and trust that the soft season will come.
Yeah.
It will come loud and ready and gulping.
Yeah. I feel like I'm receiving from this poem as well, Justin, this invitation to be faithful to the practices that we have. So there's actions in here, like keeping on speaking and keep coughing things up that are there. And so I'm really moved by this encouragement to keep on doing things that have us process our lives. Keep on faithful to the practices, to the speaking, to the conversations, to the relationships that can hold this maybe reflective, excavative, I don't know if that's a word, but where you go places that you didn't even know existed, which I know that you and I both do, even when we don't understand them, even if we don't have language for them. But they're in our experience, they're calling to us somehow. So if we're avoiding something, or if we're defensive, or if we're reactive to something, or if we're really thrown by things, it's an invitation into something that we take somewhere, rather than do everything we can to never experience that thing, or keep on avoiding something. And so it's really moving to feel both the kind of seasonal allowing that's necessary in this whole process, whilst also staying committed to the doing of things. And I think for me, and maybe many other people too, the kind of discomfort that comes from holding something down or not acknowledging it or pushing it away, at some point, maybe to your point about seasons, becomes unbearable. Like the seasons can't hang on to one another or deny themselves, because they come. So the summer can't smother the winter, and the spring can't decide to ruin the autumn or something. The relationship between the seasons is that they allow one another to be there in the cyclical, natural beingness of the world. And so when you said, you know, maybe not, we're not that different to those things, I feel like there's also a consciousness required to let those seasons be the seasons that they are, and not try and be in one season and turn it into another or something. And maybe those practices are this invitation from Naira about speaking and coughing And the word that's coming to me is expectorating, like somehow actively participating in the bringing to the surface what's here when it's here. Because of course there's times in our lives where we're just okay, many, many times of just okayness. And then something creeps up and maybe in amongst the okayness and it's really not okay. And do we then try and smother that season with the okay season because we really don't want to move, we don't want to go there? And plenty of times I've done that. And then at some point, the season that wants to come can't not come anymore. And then it all comes. And I have to keep this kind of faith in those moments, because often I have tried to smother the not okayness with the okayness. And then it's got much, much bigger because I did that. So I think it's also like an iterative learning as well, like a cyclical something of, I'm seeing this a little bit earlier this time. I'm seeing this feeling of rage or this feeling of frustration or resentment a little bit earlier on this time, so I can allow this season to come through and have the kind of faith that we're being invited to with this poem. And I don't have to push it down so much. I can have a little bit more faith each time this something comes to find me. And also, as I say that, I can see that every single time in my history of being a person, when something has come to find me, it's come to find me in service of me. There's not some other force that's against me or something, no matter how dark and painful it feels. The pain and the suffering has always transmuted itself into something wonderful and purposeful and good. And of course, I can remember the pain, I can remember the horror, but I can feel, I suppose, in the word healing is coming to mind, in the healing, in the acknowledging and facing and welcoming and holding of the parts of me that feel devastated, wounded, traumatized. I can learn from them. They turn me into a broader human. They have me see way more things about humanity that I didn't see before. They have me feel in ways that I couldn't before. And so this invitation to keep on keeping on with the speaking and the coughing feels really affirming, feels really invitational, feels really like the next time something comes to the surface to be held or talked about, I can take a deep breath and remember this and find this in my body and say, okay, there's a path of faith here. I can follow this one.
It's really striking me, Lizzie, from what you're saying. Then in order to do what you just said, it really helps us to have an understanding of ourselves as humans as a kind of deep trustability and goodness underneath all of the hurt. That if we only know ourselves as the hurt and the pain and the terror and the hardness and the scorching, it's completely understandable we would either want to push it away because there's nothing else here that can be present with it, or we would want to lose ourselves in it, sort of identify with it. If the only thing here is hurt, I just have to hold on to hurt forever, I'll just be hurt. And to remember that there's always something else of us, which I think lots of understandings of humans don't include. There's something deep and vast. And when Naira Wahid talks about drinking damage into love, that there is something of us, something very, very significant of us, that sometimes we don't feel, we forget that it's what we are because we've got caught up in identifying with the parts of us that are hurting or the parts of us that desperately want the hurt to stop, and we're caught up there. That there is something, that even the word something is the wrong word, that it is of our nature to be the ones who transform damage into love. And then that's what it is to be alive, and that's what it mm-hmm. is to be, and that it's not a personal something, it's shared. So it's not just mine, which is also one of the things we can bring to one another is
yeah.
also not. But I'm suddenly thinking as I'm talking about all the times where because we won't feel, we won't do what we're being invited to by this poem in ourselves, we also try to not do it with other people, try to have other people dismiss their own suffering, or we try to tell a very bleak story about life, which is, well, it's just suffering, so get on with it and put up with it. And there's a different response called for both of those. And that's where also I come back to how much help we can be to one another in that, by learning to be ones who stay faithful and alongside. And to what you were saying about practices, I was thinking about practices that help me do that. And all of the practices that help me are the ones which help me to do. I love this line in the middle, keep the rage tender, that are sort of a counterpoint for what will get hard in me or what will get closed in me. They're counterpoints that are opening or softening. So for me, my life of Jewish spiritual practice and walking and swimming particularly, and then doing what we're doing now, listening and talking with another human who I trust and care about and want to feel cared for by and want to stay open to, those are all practices which lay the ground of remembering that in me which drinks damage into love, which I think is what we're being asked to be faithful to here.
Yeah. I'm so, what's the word? Like I need to breathe deeper when you say, this is not personal. Like this capacity to drink damage into love is a universal humanness. It's what everybody is. And I think that's so foundational, just as a premise for having any conversation with anyone about anything difficult. And I so appreciate, you know, this poem's called Therapy. And I think that word can mean many, many, many different things. But one of the connotations for me is that there's a purposeful space into which we can speak and be in relationship that is made for this. And that's a practice in itself, is that we can make space for one another, for these deaths that we died to come present, and for these hiding places to be brought forth. And that feels like a reflection of that thing you said about this being a universal thing. Like when we can find contact with that kind of safety in ourselves, one of the things that becomes so obvious is that we can bring that to other people too. Because you say it's many, many times entirely out of sight and out of our grasp that that's what we are. And so it is, I don't even know how to use this word, like behooven or something, like it belongs to us and is a responsibility of ours as any of us feel and see and make contact with this kind of safe context of being a human being, that we are the capacity to turn damage into love, that we tell people that we practice in the spirit of that together, and that we join with one another to create those spaces in which that can be encountered for other people, and they would then be ones who go out and do the same thing. It seems very obvious to me in this moment that that is what this is for. That's what we're doing here. And that's what a life could be oriented towards too. And I'm thinking of all of the wonderfulness of humans that sit there in service of others every day and welcome their pain and welcome their suffering and allow it to be true and to be here rather than pushing it away or telling people to come back when they're sorted their lives out or something, but that invite the middleness of this processing of life and are able to sit with it because they understand and know and feel and sense and get the givenness of humanness, that it is this capacity ultimately to drink damage into love.
I've got two other things that are happening in me, Lizzie, as you're talking. One was, I was thinking about the ways that we can, just on what you said about that, when we're able to be the ones who acknowledge and name that pain or suffering or grief is here and not turn away, how important the naming is. And it's very unfortunate that for many of us in the wider culture in which we live, the greatly encouraged practice is to pretend that we're not in a hard season.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of cultures in the world where when we're in hard seasons like grieving, we show it by changing the clothes that we wear, or you know, the outward signs so that we can communicate to one another, I'm in this season and not in the season I was in before. And it's got me wondering about the ways in which we can be support to one another in being open about, in naming the difficulties that we're in, and not carrying on with a let's pretend nothing is happening here kind of culture that's around. The other thing that was coming up in me as I was, we've often spoken together here about third things, you know, in the way that the name third space from which this comes points into this, that right in the midst of the sort of apparent split between a hard season and a soft season, or a season of grief and a season of joy, or a season of scorching and a season of tenderness, when we hold them like they're opposites to one another, what we forget is there's always a third something.
Mm-hmm.
And the third something is the very presence that we are, that is able to be with softness and scorching or grief and joy.
Yeah.
And how helpful it is to remember that. I think it's the very same something, Lizzie, that is that of all of us that can drink damage into love, is the something that is neither the damage nor the love.
Mm.
It's presence might be the word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. God, it feels really important to be in this conversation and to come around again and again and again to different ways of speaking this similar thing that we say probably very often, and to name the importance of this stand in the world, you know, to say this is what we are, this is real, all of this is welcome, and there is this kind of safety that exists in life, that is life, that we can stand in and hold others in. So I'm really glad we're having this conversation. And of course, in selecting these sources, there's this feeling that wells up, maybe from that place of like, oh, this is the kind of thing that belongs here. And I really appreciate Naira Waheed for giving us this gift. Probably said it many times, but this didn't need to be published. Naira didn't need to do the work to get this out of her system onto a piece of paper and then share it with the world. She didn't need to press publish. So I want to honor all of those of us who ever press publish and who want the world to be gifted by their thinking and feeling and process and life journeys. And Naira happens to be the person this week who's spoken directly to me through her writing, and then we're bringing it here. So I want to say thank you and maybe in a year or one day you'll be listening to us, and just know our profound gratitude for your the journeying that you've done for this to be in the world, and just a big thank you. And Justin, thank you also for always being open and finding things in you that are to be said in this space. I'm really grateful, and thank you all of you for staying open and listening and welcoming us here, and of course we welcome you too. And we will be back next time, next week, at the same time here at Live on Facebook. And we'll see you then.